Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's May 3rd this morning, Sunday, and this is the sixth recorded message from home. I'm looking forward to getting back together, as I've said many times. I was talking to another brother from Connecticut, Mark Gibbs, and he said, all things work together for good. And this time separated will help us all to appreciate one another and appreciate being able to get together. And I believe that that's true. I believe that the one blessing out of this will be when we come back together, we'll have much more of an appreciation for one another and for gathering together. Even the churches that are gathering through the virtual, it's just not exactly the same, but as soon as it's possible, we want to get back into the building and to fellowship with one another as soon as we can. And we'll be in contact if we feel that the government has loosened up the requirements to let us do that. We'll contact everyone. This morning I'd like to speak on a subject. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're also going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's bow our heads before we read from the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do truly thank you for your Word and for your mercy to us. It's life to us, Lord. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And Lord, we know that the Word alone is not enough. We need the Spirit, your Spirit with the Word to make it alive. And I ask you, bless these thoughts today. May it be a blessing to your people. And help us all, Lord, to draw closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. And then let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Praise God. I like to speak on the simplicity that is in Christ, and it's a subject we've dealt with many times, but it just was impressed upon me. We've been trying to listen to a sermon each night, and we listened to a series of Brother Green's sermons, and we've started listening to the Seven Seals, and the first sermon in that series, as you know, is God in Simplicity, and Brother Branham titled it, God Hiding Himself in Simplicity, then revealing himself in the same. And I believe that this is I believe we should all be feeding on the Bible and praying and feeding on the sermons of Brother Branham. What good is it to believe that God sent a prophet if you don't listen to what he said? And faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. So if you need faith, then read your Bible, pray, listen to the prophet that God sent, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. So, God in simplicity, I felt that this would be a wonderful reminder that we need to remember this eternal principle with God. He does not reveal himself to us when we get complicated and filled with doubt and reasoning. But he comes to us when we approach him with childlike faith. And this sermon that Brother Branham preached, yes, it was timely before the seven seals, because perhaps God knew, maybe not Brother Branham, or maybe Brother Branham did, but God certainly knew what people would do with the seven seal series, and they would make it say things that it doesn't say. So Brother Branham preached this sermon first, and I have a little quotation from there I want to read to you now. Brother Branham says, "It is strange to think how God does such a thing as that. God will hide himself in something so simple that'll cause the wise to miss it a million miles, and then turn right back around in that some simple thing in the simplicity of his way of working, and reveal himself right out again." I thought it might made a text that we might study this before we go into the great teachings of the seven seals. Many miss him by the way he reveals himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did do, and always looking forward to what he will do, and ignoring what he's doing. See? That's the way they miss it. Now, I want to, brother and sister, I want to call your attention to this particular thing Brother Ram says, because this is the thought that caught me. That's the way they miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he done, but they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. See, and then look forward and see a great thing's coming that's going to happen, and 9 times out of 10, it's already happening right around them, and it's so simple that they don't know it, see. And of course, Brother Branham, that's the end of the quote, was he was referring to his own ministry, because there was many people on the earth that you know, that knew something was going to happen, and Christians were hungry for God, and some people were looking for a prophet even, but they didn't recognize that Brother Branham was that prophet to come on the scene and fulfill Malachi 4. So we're grateful that we have recognized who Brother Branham is. And we could stay on this thought for a long while, but I really believe that when people get away from simplicity, the simplicity that's in Christ, they start down a path where it's hard for them to get back to the simplicity of the gospel. Now, Paul wrote, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to read it again, 2 Corinthians 1:12, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. See, not in fleshly wisdom. Fleshly wisdom is contrary to God. In God's way, and we need to recognize that there's a fleshly wisdom and there's a wisdom of God. Yet it seems that man gravitates towards that fleshly wisdom, carnal man, the carnality that's in all men. It gravitates towards this fleshly wisdom. He always seems to move away from the simplicity. And perhaps it's because of pride. Perhaps it's because of human reasoning. Maybe it comes from that carnal nature where man's always trying to save himself. But regardless of where it comes from, when we move away from childlike faith, we move away from God. See, Eve was safe in the garden as long as she stayed behind simple faith in God's word. But when she gave over to the reasoning with the word, listening to the devil, that serpent, and that is when she moved towards total separation from God and death. And what we need to remember is Eve felt that she was gaining wisdom, but it was not the wisdom that comes from God. Eve was overtaken by a false idea that she accepted as wisdom or revelation. And we see the same thing today. Whenever we meet someone who's caught up in a false doctrine, and unfortunately, I've had the opportunity to meet people many times who believe false ideas. And I think that what we recognize is when you meet these people caught up in a false doctrine, they always feel they have more wisdom than you do. They always feel that they're lifted up a little bit. They always believe they have more revelation than other people. And the truth is that they're not caught up in the wisdom of God, but they're caught up in a false idea from the devil who's deceived them into thinking that it's greater wisdom from God. And I think the devil leans on people's pride and their reasoning to persuade them that they know something more than other people. Let's turn over to James in the third chapter. I'll start with the 13th verse. Who is a wise man? James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. With meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Let me stop there for a moment. You know, when we get any kind of bitterness and strife in our hearts, and you see a lot of carnality, people debating once amongst another, fighting with another, that's carnality. That is not God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So don't ever think that you're standing for God when you're in carnality. We're to put away all bitterness, put away all strife, put away all envying, put away all those carnal things. That's the kind of wisdom that's not from above. When you think you know better than other people, and your opinion means more than everybody else around you, and you'll fight everybody about it, that's not from God. Let's move on to verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So we see there's two kinds of wisdom. One wisdom from above, and there's one wisdom that's from the devil. And we realize there's two spirits working in the church. Jesus plainly said, you shall know them by their fruits. So when we look back and when we see the great things that God has done, you know, and people look forward to what God's going to do, but the point is that many people miss God and they fail to see what he used back when he did something. As Brother Branham said, that's the way people miss it. They look back and see what a great thing he done, but they fail to see what a simple thing he used to do it with. We have a whole movement today, people that follow Brother Branham's message and ministry, and of course we see many people have walked away. They have no revelation of what God did in this day, in Brother Branham's ministry. But even amongst those that still follow Brother Branham, it seems many have turned toward a more complicated way, not a simple way. It seems they've left the simplicity of the gospel, either through pride or, like we said, reasoning from the devil. They've allowed their minds to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And when you look back at Brother Branham, he was not a complicated man. He was not a theologian. But many have taken his simple sermons, a simple, humble man who was a prophet, and they made them something that they were never intended to be. See? And if we look at Brother Branham's life and ministry, you can tell just by listening to his sermons, by talking to people that knew him, he was a humble man, he was a simple man, he was not complicated, and he didn't think highly of himself. He was truly humble, and he made other people feel like they were better than him. And I don't believe he did that in a hypocritical way. I think that he was truly humble. He didn't think highly of himself. I remember him saying, you know, Lord, I'm 50-some years old and I've never done anything for you. And we look at his life and we think he did a lot. But I think Brother Branham realized it was God working in his life. But if you look at Brother Branham as a man, he was not educated. He was not a theologian. He was came from a poor family. He had very humble, difficult upbringing, rejected by people, beaten. Just a hard way to be raised up. And God used this man as a prophet of God to bring forth a great, mighty message in the end time. So people look back and they say, yeah, God sent a prophet and did this great thing, and there was signs and wonders and miracles and revelation, but they fail to see the simple man that God used to do it with and the simplicity he did it in. It's always been that way. Even from the beginning of the New Testament, Paul spoke of this in Galatians chapter 1. We can turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is a true wisdom, you see, that is from above. And we look at what Paul's saying here, talking about the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ. There can be no other gospel. That just wasn't for Paul's day. Some people act like today that Brother Branham came and brought a new gospel. He did not. If he did, you should get away from him and he would be accursed. Brother Branham preached, he said, the same thing Paul preached. I believe he did. When I listen to his sermons, to me it's the same thing Paul preached. It's only those men that draw from the wisdom from below, the carnality, they take what was said and they twist it and they make it something else, that becomes the perversion. As Paul said so clearly here, that he marveled people were removed from the gospel of Christ to another, which he said was perverted gospel, and it was they preach another gospel. Another gospel, which is not another, but some pervert the gospel of Christ. So there people claiming to standing for the truth back in Paul's day, they were perverting the gospel to another gospel. Here we are in this day, Brother Branham comes on the scene, a man of God brings a vindicated message, and then after him, people come and they pervert that message and present themselves as the one standing for the message. But again, by their fruits you shall know them. So there's a true wisdom from above, and there's a false wisdom from the devil, which reasons with the word. Christ told Peter that he had a true revelation, and upon this rock I'll build my church. However, not all that is called revelation is true revelation. And the key is all revelation must come back to the scriptures. If any revelation contradicts the original gospel of Christ, then we know that that revelation is not from God. And Brother Branham said it really well. I'm going to read in 1953, Israel and the Church, a quote from Brother Branham. Brother Branham says, recently there was a young minister came to me and told me a certain situation, and he said he prayed over it. And he said the Lord revealed to him that it was a certain way. And I looked at him a little bit and I said, brother, that's very lovely. I said, I appreciate the Lord doing that for you, but let me tell you something. It's contrary. He said, well, the vision come from God. This guy claimed to have a vision. And Brother Branham said, I said, it couldn't have, brother, because it's contrary to the word. Now we must prove all things by the scripture. Not if it's contrary to my faith, and yet the scripture says so, the scripture's right and I'm wrong, see? The scripture's always right, and the only way you can do anything is come back to the scripture. Now that is true. Now I like to hear you say amen when you believe it. You see, amen means so be it. So here's a man who has a vision. Brother Branham, even himself, everything he said, everything he taught, every vision he had, everything has to come back to the scriptures. And that is the absolute. That is the standard. We don't make the scriptures fit some contrary idea. If Brother Branham said anything and you're getting an idea that's different than the gospel of Paul, then you understood it the wrong way, or Brother Branham said it the wrong way. And it doesn't really matter. We come back to the scriptures always. Another place Brother Branham said, Israel and the church, he says, all these cults and uprises and all these things and isms today, by God's grace, it's everyone written in Genesis, where it had its beginning back there, and it's just got another name. But you watch the working of that spirit in that day and watch how it's working today, and you'll see it's the very same thing. And friends, some of it is striking. You'd be surprised to know that some of it is the highest, is in the highest ecclesiastical realms. Now notice what Brother Branham's saying. These spirits, these cults and uprisings, they're in high places. Continue on this quote. Now just look at that spirit, how it rose up back there in Cain, how it come down through Ham and through Nimrod into Babylon and out of Babylon, come on down into the days of Jesus, teachers, Bible students, and they failed to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were standing there, polished scholars, holy men, righteous, knowing the word, just every letter of it and where it was and how it was written, noted by heart through and through, every scroll and everything, had to be born in a certain lineage of men, a priesthood or a tribe, and come out to be priest, polished scholars, seminary students today that would be a back number upside one of them, and yet failed to know Jesus. And when Jesus come, these were the holy men, and Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. He said, you do err not knowing the power of God, neither the word of God. Could you imagine the Lord Jesus calling a holy, righteous scholar, Bible student, a devil? But he did. And now if you go back and you'll find out where it come from and watch, it's moving right out today in a terrible force all around. It behooves you, my brother, sister, to consider what you're listening at. And don't you never underestimate Satan's power for deceiving. Don't you never underestimate. He's smooth as can be. And the Antichrist spirit isn't communism, no. The Antichrist spirit is so close like the real thing till it'll deceive the very elect if possible. Jesus said so, Matthew 24. It's a religious spirit. Oh, why Cain and Abel were brothers. The crow and the dove set the same roost. Esau and Jacob were brothers. Judas and Jesus were in the same church. One the preacher, the other one the treasurer. See, there's always just the deceiving. The lie that Cain, Satan, told Eve. 90% truth. Let me stop there. You see, Brother Branham's identifying that the same spirit of deception that was back in the Garden of Eden lives on and is manifest today. And the Antichrist spirit, you know, we know the devil's in a lot of different things, but that Antichrist is a religious spirit. And that I don't believe that it's Catholicism's going to deceive the very elect. It couldn't. I don't believe any spirit's going to deceive the very elect. But if it was so close that it would, then that Antichrist spirit has to come amongst the message of the hour. And it has. In a big way, where it's just my humble opinion, but most of what's following the message of the hour has gone off into perversion. They've gone off into mixing man's ideas with the Word of God. They've ignored Brother Branham's warnings about high breeding, don't put your ideas with the word, and they claim to have these revelations, and they've left the simplicity of the gospel. They've left the simplicity of Brother Branham's message. And for us today, here we are in these strange times. Now is the time not to get complicated. Now is the time to be very simple with God, to be very direct with God. Let your faith be simple and childlike. Don't be complicated. Don't go to reasoning. Fear is not of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. See, when you're walking into the simplicity of God, you don't try to manufacture anything. Sheep don't manufacture wool. They bear wool. And we're not to manufacture fruits. We're to bear fruits. See, but the key is you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God in Christ, filled with His Spirit. And then, now listen, then when you're in Christ, He will reveal Himself to you and will manifest Himself through you. And it's not you doing it at all. You're not manufacturing anything. When people get to manufacturing something, they're doing it in themselves, and that's what produces self-righteousness. They are all proud of what they've done, and it just shows that they did it and not Christ. When Christ works through you, it actually produces humility, because you know it was not you, but Christ working in you. When we look at the nature of Christ and the beauty of Christ, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Let me stop there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we see God hiding from the so-called wise and revealing to the little, the small, the babes. Oh, let's be little in our own sight. Don't be lifted up, brothers. Once you get lifted up, you're moving away from God. Once you tap into pride and self-exaltation and you think you're better than somebody else, you're going the wrong way. You're following the wisdom from below, not the wisdom from above. Let's continue on Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Look who He is. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whosoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, isn't it amazing that that one being, who all things are delivered unto him. He has all power. He has all might. He has all knowledge. He has all wisdom. That same one person, that being, is literally meek and lowly in heart. Praise God. God is so great, but He makes Himself so simple. Why? Because He has a meek and lowly heart. See, God is not of a haughty spirit. He's not haughty. His spirit's not haughty. His spirit's not like a know-it-all spirit, even though God knows all things. What a paradox that the Almighty God would say, I am meek and lowly in heart. Don't you just love that about God? I love that about God, that He's actually the one being that created the whole universe. But in His spirit, that spirit is actually a meek and lowly spirit. Praise the Lord. You see, when I think about God, He could be proud, but He's not. He does know everything, but He's not a know-it-all. He could have cast us all away, but He doesn't. And I think about Calvary. He did not deserve to die on that cross, yet He did to save us. What a God. What a Savior. I'd like to look at a couple examples of people that made themselves simple to trust in God, because I think today, in this hour of strange times that we're living in, we need to get very simple with God. Turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. Matthew 14, 23. And when he had sent away, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. What a beautiful story. Here the disciples had seen Jesus do miraculous things, to feed the thousands with not hardly anything. He saw the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. And then he comes out and they're on a boat tossed around, which I'm sure was scary. And then he's walking on the water. And at first they're afraid, but he says, Be not afraid. And quickly Peter was inspired to believe it was Jesus. That simple faith, that quickening came on him and said, It is Jesus. And he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to walk on the water. You know, why did he even think like that? Why did he even believe that was possible? Because he believed all things are possible. So Jesus said to come. Come. He bid me come on the water. Come. And when Peter was down in the ship. Now, Peter's walking supernaturally on the water. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we walk as Christians in a supernatural place. We're living above the world. The doubts and fears of the world doesn't bother us. The nonsense of the world doesn't bother us. And we're walking with Jesus in a supernatural way. And then what happened to Peter? He starts to look at the circumstance. He starts to look at the boisterous wind, the strong winds and the waves. And he starts to reason, wait a minute, what's happening here? This is not possible. I can't walk on water. He started to reason. He started to entertain fear. And once we entertain fear and doubt, you will not walk in a supernatural place anymore. You will start to sink. And fear grips a hold of them. And of course, Peter did all he could do is say, Lord, you know, save me. And he did. And if we say, Lord, save me, he will save us. But what I want you to see out of this example is Peter, the way that he walked supernaturally was by simple faith. Simplicity. There was no reasoning to it. There was no understanding how that could be. He didn't ask any questions. How can it be? He just jumped and walked on the water because Jesus said he could. And brothers and sisters, we need to have that kind of faith. We need to have simple, childlike faith right now so that we can walk in a dark place. We can walk above all the things in this world. Another place in Matthew 15, verse 22, I love this story, this woman of Canaan. Matthew 15, 22, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Lord, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. You know, sometimes it seems like God's not going to answer, but that's not always true. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am sent, not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus is saying, she's from Canaan, she's a Gentile, she's not of Israel. And see, she came with the wrong claims. O Lord, Son of David. She wasn't from the house of David, so she had the wrong claims. But then she came, verse 25, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now she had the right claims. Lord, he's the Lord of all. And when she came with that desperation, what did he do? Was he nice to her? He answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That's an insult. Jesus, I don't care how you spin this, he insulted her and basically said she was a dog. And she said, what did she do? Did she get all offended? Did she say, oh, you didn't do the right thing and I'm not gonna come to you anymore? No, she had a revelation of who Jesus was and she wasn't going away. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Praise God. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, she was persistent in her simple faith. Not only do we need to have simple faith, we need to be persistent with God. No matter if it looks like God's not answering, no matter if it looks like God's insulting us, even if God does insult us, even if God does humble us, praise God. Hold on to that simple faith. She was single-minded. She wanted deliverance for her daughter. We want deliverance for ourselves and our loved ones. Let's have simple faith and approach God with singleness of mind. Let's not be deterred by the circumstances, but be perseverant and simple in how we approach God. And then Jesus answered, Great is thy faith. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. What a testimony she'll have on the other side. You know, brothers and sisters, I think that we get too complicated in the way we think, in the way we operate, the way we approach God. When you read your Bible, don't think that you need to be a theologian. You just need to have simple faith. There's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand, but we keep reading. Every day we keep reading that portion of the Word of God. We keep reading, and then suddenly He quickens a portion to us, and it becomes alive to us. But be persistent. Be simple. Don't ever move away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Don't let your mind be corrupted and become complicated and bogged down with reasoning and doubt. That accompanies fear. If you want fear in your life, let yourself go to reasoning and being complicated with God. But if you want love in your life, cast out all that fear and just entertain simple faith. Because simple faith is tied to love. And if we really love Him, we're going to trust Him enough to believe Him. Brother Bam said, we don't need to know theology today. We want neology today is what we need to be born again. That's right, the simplicity of the gospel. That's what we need today, the simplicity of the gospel. Don't be complicated. When we read our Bible, be simple. When we listen to Brother Branham, be simple. Don't look for some deep, dark thing. Look for the simplicity of Christ. Brother Branham always said, he said this in Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness, it's the simplicity of the gospel that staggers people. They try to make it a great intellectual something another when it's the simpleness. But God takes the very tool of humility and weakness and simplicity to work His works with. That's the only tool in God's hand. Simplicity, humility. Whenever God does something, it's going to be in simplicity. It's going to be in humility. It won't be with arrogance. It won't be in a haughty spirit. We won't feel lifted up. We won't feel self-righteous. We'll feel like we haven't done anything. God's done it through us. Praise the Lord. God bless you, brothers and sisters. I trust that you're doing well. Again, if you need something, please don't hesitate to reach out to me through the way of a texting or phone call. I'd like to reach out to you as well. But we'll trust the Lord that He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this simple thought. It's such a blessing to me, Lord, when I think of how powerful the message of the hour is and what you did in this last day in manifesting your word in Malachi 4 and Luke 17 and so many other scriptures that happened. Lord, a seventh church age messenger coming and a prophet being manifested, but yet his message was simple. It pointed us back to the original gospel. It pointed us away from the creeds of men and the reasoning of men, which made the word of no effect. And Lord, you demonstrated the power of your gospel with this teaching that came through Brother Branham. And Lord, I believe it's promised that there will be a latter rain. And that latter rain will be a manifestation of the people that believe the teachings, the restoration message. Not a new message, but a message that restores our faith back to the original. Lord, I truly believe there's coming something from you, and it will be so simple that most people will miss it. But your bride, she'll be of simple faith, simple childlike faith, and she'll be part of it. Lord, bless my brothers and sisters in this local area and around the world. May you bless our efforts as we try to draw closer to you and hear your voice. Help us to be simple, Lord. May we never forget what you used in the past. Simple things, not complicated things. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen.